everyone, and welcome to the St. Mary's podcast. It's me, Adam, and today we'll be telling stories, so grab a snack and a blanket and take a listen. Today, we'll be learning what the favourite books of the members of our podcast are, because we love reading, even though one of us prefers audiobooks. Anyway, without further ado, let's hear from our newest member, Matilda, who will tell us more about why she believes reading is important.
Hello, listeners. This podcast is going to be all about reading and our favorite books. You may be asking, why should we even read? Not only can it improve your mental health, but it can also improve sleep. Those are wonderful reasons to read, but one of the most important reasons to read is for fun. Reading for fun, not just for the benefits or schoolwork, is always a great reason to read. Allowing yourself to immerse in a new world or a brilliant adventure, even being thrown into the wildest storms, or starting off with a peaceful day, simply watching the clouds drift by. This episode, you're going to hear from our hosts about our favorite books. Let's get right into it.
Hi, my name is Clem, and I am here today to talk to you about my favorite book, The Goldfish Boy by Lisa Thompson. 12-year-old Matthew is trapped in his bedroom by crippling OCD. Spending most of his time staring out of his window as the inhabitants of Chestnut Close go about their business, until the day he is the last person to see his next-door neighbour's toddler, Teddy, before he goes missing. Here is a page of The Goldfish Boy to give you a taste of the book. Mr. Charles had sunburn right on the top of his head. I saw it while he was inspecting his roses. He studied each flower, giving the larger ones a little shake to see if any petals fell off. As he edged along the pathway, the big, bald patch on the top was now a bright red, shiny circle, surrounded by white, fluffy hair. He would have been wearing a hat in this heat, but I guess it's too hard to notice if the top of your head is burning when you're busy doing things. I noticed them. I noticed a lot of things from the window. It's not like I was doing anything wrong. I was just watching my neighbours to pass the time. That's all. I really like The Goldfish Boy because the main character, Matty, is very relatable, like me and you. Well, to an extent. He is crippled by the fear of germs. I mean, no one likes the thought of someone not washing their hands after going to the toilet. But this boy, he is petrified of the germs that we encounter in everyday life. I enjoy seeing the world through his eyes, and I think you would too. Good day.
Hello everyone, Alice here. And today we are doing some reading of one of my favourite books, The Maze Runner. Now, let's read the first page. He began his new life standing up, surrounded by cold darkness and stale, dusty air. Metal ground against metal. A lurching shudder shook the floor beneath him. He fell down at the sudden movement and shuffled backwards on his hands and feet, drops of sweat beading on his forehead despite the cool air. His back struck a hard metal wall, and he slid along it until he hit the corner of the room, sinking to the floor. He pulled his legs up tight against his body, hoping his eyes would see the gist of the darkness. With another jolt, the room jerked upwards like an old lift in a mineshaft. Harsh sounds of chains and pulleys, like the workings of an ancient steel factory, echoed throughout the room, bouncing off the walls with a hollow, tinny whine. The lightless lift swayed back and forth as it ascended, turning the boy's stomach sour with nausea. A smell like burnt oil invaded his senses, making him feel worse. He wanted to cry, but no tears came. He could only sit there alone, waiting. Now, I would definitely recommend this book to all students listening, because everyone will, at some point of being in St. Mary's, have learned about dystopia. And another thing, The Maze Runner is not only a quadrilogy, a tetralogy, a series of four books, a dystopian fiction. It also slightly involves fantasy, as shown in the two main characters' interactions with each other. I'll not spoil how, though. You'll need to read it yourself. Well, my favourite thing about this book is that how it perfectly captures both dystopia and, well, as I explained, a little bit of fantasy. In some dark, twisted world, yes, but still fantasy. I also love how it incorporates the idea of a sectioned-off area of the world where kids trying to survive. Very Hunger Games-esque. Well, I hope you enjoyed this interlude about the wonderful and extremely dark world of the Maze Runner and dystopia. This is your expert on dystopia, Alice, signing off. Goodbye!
Hello, it's me, Liam, and today I will be talking about my favourite book, What If, by Randall Munroe. What If, by Randall Munroe, is about scientific answers to absurd hypothetical questions, such as, what if a nuclear submarine was in space? What if you dropped a steak from space? And what if you hit a baseball at the speed of light? And many, many more. I will now read an extract from the book. Global windstorm. What would happen if the Earth and all terrestrial objects suddenly stopped spinning and the atmosphere retained its velocity? The answer? Nearly everyone would die. Then things would get interesting. At the equator, the Earth's surface is moving at about 470 meters per second, a little over 1,000 miles per hour relative to its axis. If the Earth stopped and the air didn't, the result would be a sudden 1,000-mile-per-hour wind. The wind would be highest at the equator, but everyone and everything living between 42 degrees north and 42 degrees south, which includes about 85% of the world's population, would suddenly experience supersonic winds. The highest winds would last for only a few minutes near the surface. Friction with the ground would slow them down. However, those few minutes would be long enough to reduce virtually all human structures to ruins. That is just a small part of an amazing answer to this question. What I love about this book is all the crazy questions that get answered and how you could get lost in it for hours. I would definitely recommend it to anyone interested in science. Well, that's all I have to say. So that's me, Liam, signing off.
It's me, Adam, and I will read an extract from the Minecraft Morbestiary about the Enderman. The book, The Morbestiary, is a book about monsters from Minecraft, with things like Artedom and their insides, providing a lot of lore about them. I will be reading an extract from the Minecraft Bestiary now. It's strange to think that the overworld inhabitants are host to visitors, not of our world. We have called these creatures Endermen, and they are altogether alien. Sometimes they seem almost playful, and other times they attack without mercy. Endermen seem highly intelligent and appear to worship the Ender Dragon, but no one has ever successfully communicated with them. The image next to it shows an Enderman holding a block of dirt. On its right is an Enderman who the interior of their chest and face is showing a human-like skull and brain, but in the chest, their insides are black and purple. This is possibly hinting at the origins of Endermen being humans. This is a really interesting book if you like Minecraft, because it tells you a lot about Minecraft's mobs, creatures, and the biology and history. Now, see you at the end of the podcast.
Hello, listener. My name is Matilda. You'll be seeing me in podcasts from now on. Well, listening to me, that is. I'm going to read an extract from my favorite book, Hookie, now.
Wait! Danny! Hurry, Dorian! We're late! Oh no! The bus is leaving! I'm not going to allow it! Here we go! Come on, fly! Ah! Finally! Wait for me! Yay!
Hold your horses!
Ah! Ouch.
Oof, are you okay?
Dorian, what are you doing? Why would you grab my broom?
Sorry, I didn't think you'd fall so hard.
My head hurts now, and I was so close to reaching the bus.
But Danny, everyone could see you now. What if they realized we're witches?
Did that extract sound interesting to you? Then you should definitely consider reading the webtoon comic turned into a physical book, my personal favorite book, Hooky, by Miriam Bonatschter. In the extract, Wyatt twins, Dorian and Danny, were running to catch the bus to magic school. And you would think that's okay. No need to worry. They can just walk there themselves. But here's the thing. The magic school is hidden for the safety of all witches who attend there, and their parents are expecting them to be in school for 9 months. But that was simply the extract, the very start of this twisted story. When they missed the bus, they didn't just miss school. They started to cause hijinks after going to their Aunt Hild instead of going home, and soon enough were declared traitors to their own kind, with wanted posters that said they were enemies of witches. That was thanks to a mishap with a dragon egg, a broken broom, and a high-profile prisoner. They have to find new shelter for 9 months, and that's when they meet a local troublemaker, a princess searching for the love of her life after he was mysteriously kidnapped, and a master to help guide them and teach them with his power to see the future. While that's happening, a prophecy is coming to light that involves the two Wyatt twins. If you like the fantasy genre, my description would have caught your interest. Two twins, one prophecy, a whole lot of hijinks. Not only does that sound amazing, it is amazing. I highly recommend this book if you like magical stories with a lot of backstory. I personally love it for its anime-like style and its beautiful storyline with massive twists, which you'll just have to wait for. I hope Hooky has caught your interest so you'll read it in the future. Thanks for listening. That's me signing off.
Hello, my name is Daniel, and today I'll be sharing part of my favourite book, Animal Farm. A lot of you in St Mary's will have read or will read this book in Year 8. Here is an extract from the first page of the book. Mr Jones of the Manor Farm had locked the hen houses for the night, but was too drunk to remember to shut the popholes. With the ring of light from his lantern dancing from side to side, he lurched across the yard, kicked off his boots at the back door, drew himself a last glass of beer from the barrel in the scullery, and made his way up to bed where Mrs. Jones was already snoring. As soon as the light in the bedroom went out, there was a stirring and a fluttering all through the farm buildings. Word had gone round during the day that old Major, the prize middle white boar, had a strange dream on the previous night and wished to communicate it to the other animals. It had been agreed that they should all meet in the big barn as soon as Mr. Jones was safely out of the way. Old Major, so he was called, though the name under which he had been exhibited was Willingdon Beauty, was so highly regarded on the farm that everyone was quite ready to lose an hour's sleep in order to hear what he had to say. So what happened in the extract was that Mr. Jones was too drunk to shut the popholes, which is neglect towards the animals, and allowed them to conspire against him. I like this extract because of the level of detail and that it is based on the Russian Revolution. And this is me, Daniel, signing off.
Now you've heard our recommendations, let's hear from some of our own English teachers, Miss Hornsby, Miss Farmerhan and Miss Charlton, about their book recommendations and why they enjoy reading so much.
Why is reading so important?
I think reading is very important because it can transport you to a new world, you can find out a lot about other cultures, different ways of living. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think with books and novels becoming so diverse now, I think there's always a character that someone can identify with, and it's really nice to see yourself in characters or certain situations that you can relate to. And I just think it makes people feel seen a little bit as well.
Yeah, I agree with everything. I mean, I think aside from, you know, the fact that we can learn things about other cultures and new places, I also think reading is just fun and can be a form of escapism. You know, when I'm quite busy at work, I just like to go home and read a book about something that's completely crazy that, you know, obviously would never happen in my normal life, but it's a nice way to escape from everything.
Definitely, I think sometimes, you know, we feel like we should be reading the classics and, you know, some quite difficult literature. And I think that is great and it has its place in time. But sometimes it is just about reading, you know, something like an easy read sometimes, like you say, Miss, just to kind of take your mind off things and unwind. So every type of reading is really beneficial. It helps with all vocabulary as well. You know, and the more that we read, the more, well, our writing improves too. So that's very important.
Yeah, I think definitely, especially during term time, if I'm picking a book to read, it'll always be something not too difficult, something that's maybe a thriller or something that's a little bit easier that I can just fully absorb into after a stressful day, almost instead of watching Netflix, just reading a good book.
Yeah, non-fiction's important as well, I think, you know, finding out about, you know, the news, reading articles and so on, so that's also important.
I personally prefer audiobooks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I dabble in graphic novels.
Nice. What do you like about audiobooks?
I like that I can just sit down, maybe like in a bath or while I'm going to bed, and just listen to something interesting.
Do you count listening to an audiobook as reading?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but it doesn't really... you don't learn like the spelling of words, kind of. Like, if I looked at a word... that's an odd spelling, I would be able to recognise it because I've read it. But if I just listened to it, I would never know.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot for physically reading. You do get the spellings, you get your punctuation there. Sometimes actually seeing it written on the page, you know, we get a sense of how the author wanted it to be read. But I think audiobooks, there's a lot to be said for, you know, they're really immersive in the story. And actually, when we're reading, we have to think about why we read. And a lot of the time, we read for that story element. We read, you know, for the writer's ideas. And actually, you know, an audiobook can still allow us to understand characters, to still understand the plot.
Yeah, audiobooks are, like, much easier to, like, digest. If you're, like, if you're simply listening to something, you don't always have to, like, put your mind to, like, fully read, like, fully immersing yourself in it. You can just, like, use it to, like, relax, to calm down, and you don't always have to, like, push yourself to read things, like, and to, like, absorb lots of different parts of information. It's much easier to just listen to it because sometimes it's just easier.
I feel like audiobooks, and they also help you get a sense of how, as you said, immersive, kind of. You understand how the character speaks, in a way, because you can hear them, and they usually have different voices.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, actually, I think if I'm reading, say, an autobiography, and if the audiobook is narrated by the actual writer of it, I prefer listening to the audiobook because you get a sense of their voice. But I think it goes back to, you know, what we're talking about, different types of reading, having their own time and place. I think if, you know, if you're wanting to read to kind of improve your spelling and vocabulary, well, I mean, audiobook's great for vocabulary, but, you know, your spelling and so on, yes, fair enough. Reading actual books might be better, but if it's simply for enjoyment, I think an audiobook is great. But saying that, I think sometimes there's that tendency whenever I've tried to sometimes put an audiobook on, I have to really make sure I'm concentrating. Sometimes it's quite easy, isn't it, to zone out and then have to kind of go backwards to find out what's happened, you know, if you've put it on in the background and you're doing something else. So I think it just depends what you prefer.
A lot of books that I read, like, I've started reading the Harry Potter series, right, and I just finished The Order of the Phoenix, and I noticed that compared to the movies, it's actually quite different, and you actually get, like, quite a different feeling from the book than you do from the movies, because, like, it goes into a bit more detail and, like, what's actually going on in the story than the movies does.
Yeah. Books are always very different from movies, they are. Like, because sometimes in books, movies don't always have, like, either the budget or, like, the ability to create a fantasy world that has been imagined in the book, but the movies can try and make them as close as possible, or they can just completely change the whole idea of the story to try and fit into what they particularly want. So, yeah, if you're if you're trying to like intake like literature or like specific stories, then it would be much better to read books that have actually been written by the authors, but so that way you can see what the authors have actually tried to get across to you. So, what's your favourite book of all time? Very, very difficult question.
That is a very difficult question. I always struggle when someone asks me this because there are so many fantastic books. I think I've kind of got two categories of favourite books. One, a classic, and then one, a more modern book that I read last year. So my favourite classic book is 1984 by George Orwell, which I know lots of people would have looked at in year seven, with Big Brother always watching you. And I just love a really dark, dystopian story. I don't really like a happy ending too much when I'm reading. I like how gritty it is. And actually, considering it was written in 1948, it got a lot of things right about, you know, CCTV, all those kind of things. So I would definitely recommend, you know, if you like dark books, like dystopian books, then go and read 1984.
I shall be looking into it.
And then maybe wait till you're a bit older, though, because it is a bit grown up, I would say. And then for my modern book, there's a book that I read last year called Circe by Madeline Miller. And it's a retelling of a Greek myth about a sorceress who turned Odysseus's, the brave warrior's leg, into pigs. And she was a villain, you know, in the classic myths, but her story's been retold in a really feminist, cool way. So I love Greek myths, and I really like the idea that it's told from the woman's perspective. Yeah, really love Circe by Madeline Miller. And if you do like Greek myths, then go and read that, because it's very good.
Yeah, I've read both of those as well, and love both of them. I totally agree. I also hate this question too, I think. I always feel really under pressure with this question, because as you say, there are so many books, and I feel like it totally depends. My mindset can change quite a bit. Depends what kind of mood I'm in. If I had to say my favourite book of all time, though, I'd probably say Dracula by Bram Stoker, because I think looking back, it was maybe one of the first more challenging books that I've read by myself. You know, that wasn't a children's book. And I also, you know, really used to enjoy, and I still do, reading Gothic literature. So I really enjoyed the Gothic sort of themes and the tone and the structure, you know, the epistolary style, the way it's all written in kind of letters and diary entries. And I think you get a sense of different characters and what's happening. I do think, though, you know, the character Lucy is quite, could be improved. She's a bit weak, but I do enjoy the story and sort of the themes and things. So, yeah.
Did you know that Dracula didn't actually start off as one of the most popular vampires? The book actually started off as not being very well known.
Oh, interesting. That is really interesting. I think I had heard that before, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I wonder why that is.
So about the favourite book. On my first day of English, my teacher asked us to say your favourite author and then favourite book. I said Oxford. My favourite book's The Dictionary.
Yeah, genuinely.
So, the story is, in year four, I lost a library book. And as a punishment, my teachers made me read The Dictionary for the entire of the start of year four until the end of year five. But the thing is, I actually enjoyed it. So, and once I got into year five, the teacher gave me a big dictionary, like, about this thick, and I read it a lot.
For the viewers at home, it's about the size of a laptop.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, yes, okay, and when I got into year six, people knew me as the dictionary kid.
Well, that's great. I have a student that when we do our library lessons loves to get the big Oxford Dictionary out of the library and read it.
So, Clem, hang on. Basically, so whenever you read any other book, it's basically to you, would it just be like a remix of the dictionary?
Yes.
Have you ever read a Fifth Source?
Yes. We were once asked, in World Book Day, we were asked by my English teacher to get our favourite book. I got the dictionary. She said, no, you can't read that. I got the thesaurus. She said, no, you can't read that. and then I ended up getting a different book.
Oh.
I thought this was quite a weird remix. but anyway,
back to the regular topic that we were discussing.
Back to the topic.
Wait.
Take it away. Yeah. Miss Farmerhand.
My favourite book. I'm really distracted now. My favourite book is The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. I looked at it at university and it was just really interesting to me. And I looked at how it all the novel's about kind of Esther, the protagonist, struggling with her mental health. And it's all about kind of at this time period how almost... Is it mental health or is it women's insanity? Which obviously it wasn't, but it was just really interesting to me. And there's a really nice, beautiful metaphor in it about a fig tree that always sticks out to me, thinking about all the different choices that we have in life and how that changes our route in life too. So that's my favourite book. But I absolutely adore as well the Good Girl's Guide to Murder series by Holly Jackson. That is genuinely probably one of my favourite series ever. It's incredible. So yeah, I would check that out if...
That was actually one of the questions, what's your favourite book series, but we're not actually going to use that because it's very similar to what's your favourite book.
That's a good question though, but I love Sylvia Plath as well, actually, so that would be up there.
Adore.
Yeah, her poetry is great. Mm. She's probably a bit, well, I say probably a bit dark, very depressing. Dark, so...
It's gone very dark.
Yeah, yeah.
English teachers love emotional pain.
Yeah.
So is it set in the Victorian era or even earlier than that?
Not 1950s?
The Bell Jar.
Yeah.
What is your favourite genre of book?
Mine's definitely crime. I've always been really interested in it. And I teach the crime paper for the A-level English literature. So I just love reading Agatha Christie, anything really to do with crime. I think it's great as well because sometimes we were talking about easy reads, weren't we? You know, sometimes it can be quite an easy read, or you know, it can be more challenging at the same time. So yes, crime.
I love Agatha Christie.
I think I've kind of covered both of mine with my favourite book choices, but I love dystopian books. So 1984, Fahrenheit 451, Handmaid's Tale, you know, again, really depressing, quite bleak books. I really enjoy those. And also, I think this is more of a new genre, to be honest, in the last couple of years, but the retellings of things I really love. So Greek retellings, historical kind of retellings of events as well, really enjoy those. So
there's a bunch of Disney retellings as well that are really good.
A lot of students seem to read those in the library.
Is it Twisted Tales?
Yeah, Twisted Tales. I've got a few of them at home. They're great. Yeah. I would recommend.
Mm. I think mine, similar to Miss Hornsby, I really enjoy a thriller, just something that's fast paced, something that keeps you guessing, something that's really engaging and immersive. And I really enjoy like just kind of contemporary fiction, a little bit of romance, just something, again, like a form of escapism, but something that feels almost like it could be real, but obviously isn't. I enjoy that.
I personally agree with Miss Charlton with dystopia. It's affected me a lot after the topic of dystopia. When I write and make little stories, they almost always come out dystopian.
Yes. I think after ESF, all of us were writing dystopia.
It's just so good. So gory.
Yes.
So terribly twisted that you can't stop writing it.
It's engaging.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much, teachers, for being interviewed. It's been great chatting with you about reading.
Hello, listener. We end this chapter in podcast of 2024 on the subject of reading, my personal fave. We not only bring another great podcast, but the celebration of World Book Day, which takes place on Thursday the 7th of March, for those who were curious. Now this sadly is the end of this story, but I hope you are excited and apprehensive for the sequel. Who knows what's going to happen? Stay tuned for next time. Over and out!